A young black woman walks into a hospital in 1951 with a knot in her cervix. Within months, she's dead. But part of her microscopic fragments taken without her knowledge becomes immortal, launching a scientific revolution that saves millions of lives and generates billions of dollars. Her children grow up in poverty, unable to afford the healthcare advances their mother's body made possible. This isn't science fiction. This is the story of Henrietta Lacks, whose cells became the foundation of modern medicine while her family remained invisible. For two decades, no one even knew her real name. Scientists called the cells HeLa, attributing them to Helen Lane, or simply avoiding the question altogether. Meanwhile, her cells traveled to space, helped develop the polio vaccine, and became the most widely used human cells in research history. The disconnect is staggering, and it forces us to confront uncomfortable truths about who benefits from scientific progress and at whose expense. Henrietta's story begins in rural Virginia's tobacco fields. Born Loretta Pleasant in 1920, she grew up in a cabin that once housed enslaved people. After her mother died when she was four, she was raised alongside cousins, including Day Lacks, her future husband. Life meant brutal tobacco labor from sunrise to sunset, education ending after sixth grade. Those who knew her remember striking beauty, smooth skin, radiant smile, famous sweet potato pie, and love of dancing. By 14, she had her first child with Day. They married, had five children, and during World War II joined the Great Migration to Turner Station, a thriving black community near Baltimore's steel plants. That January 1951 knot changed everything. At Johns Hopkins, one of few hospitals treating black patients during segregation, a doctor took tissue without consent, standard practice then. In Dr. George Gee's lab, something unprecedented happened. Her cells didn't die. Every previous attempt to grow human cells outside the body had failed within days. Henrietta's cells doubled every 24 hours and never stopped. She died 8 months later at 31, buried in an unmarked grave while her cells multiplied endlessly in laboratories worldwide. Dr. Gay had spent years trying to grow human cells outside the body. Every sample died quickly, frustrating attempts to study cancer, viruses, or cellular processes. When Henrietta's sample arrived, lab assistant Mary Kubasek processed it routinely, expecting failure. Instead, the cells exploded with life, crowding their containers within days. Gay realized he had the breakthrough scientists had sought for decades, the first immortal human cell line. The timing was extraordinary. Polio terrorized America. Parents kept children indoors, public pools closed, fear gripped communities. Jonas Salk had developed a potential vaccine, but needed human cells to test it. HeLa cells changed everything. Scientists could expose them to poliovirus, add vaccine, and see if it worked, rapidly, reliably, repeatedly. The vaccine's success launched HeLa into scientific stardom. The Tuskegee Institute established the first HeLa factory, producing trillions of cells weekly and shipping them worldwide for $10 per vial. But HeLa's vitality created unexpected problems. The cells were so aggressive, they contaminated other cultures through dust particles. In 1966, geneticist Stanley Gartler revealed that many supposedly distinct cell lines were actually HeLa, years of research potentially invalidated. The revelation forced scientists to develop containment protocols, but it also highlighted what made HeLa special. These cells wanted to live with supernatural intensity. For over two decades, Henrietta's family knew nothing. Her children grew up motherless, passed between relatives, some suffering abuse. Cancer wasn't openly discussed in their 1950s community. Henrietta became a fading memory. Then came 1973. At a dinner party, Bobette Lacks, married to Henrietta's son Lawrence, met a guest from the National Cancer Institute. "I work with HeLa cells every day," he said casually. Bobette's blood ran cold. "HeLa? That's a person?" "Yeah, a woman named Henrietta Lacks." "Henrietta Lacks is my mother-in-law." The scientist was stunned. This chance conversation shattered everything. How could their mother still be alive in laboratories worldwide? What had been taken? Why had no one told them? For Deborah, barely a year old when Henrietta died, it was particularly disorienting. She had no memories, just photographs. When the family called Johns Hopkins seeking answers, they were transferred endlessly. Their fears intensified upon learning about the Tuskegee syphilis study, where Black men were deliberately left untreated. Was Henrietta part of some experiment? These fears reflected deep historical wounds, a legacy of medical exploitation that made trust nearly impossible. What made Henrietta's cells defy death? Most human cells divide about 50 times before dying, cellular senescence. Telomeres, protective caps on chromosomes, shorten with each division until cells can no longer reproduce. It's nature's built-in limit against cancer. HeLa cells broke these rules. They produce telomerase, an enzyme that rebuilds telomeres, essentially resetting the cellular clock. In 1984, researchers discovered Henrietta's tumor contained multiple copies of HPV-18, one of the most aggressive strains of human papillomavirus. The virus inserted its DNA into her cells, disrupting normal growth controls. Over decades, HeLa cells continued evolving. They now have 76 to 80 chromosomes instead of the normal 46. Some scientists suggest classifying them as a new species, Helicytin gartleri. They're no longer entirely human. There's something that emerged from Henrietta but has transcended her. As HeLa cells revolutionized medicine and generated billions in profits, Henrietta's children struggled without health insurance, the bitter irony that their mother's cells helped create treatments they couldn't access. Elsie, Henrietta's second daughter with developmental disabilities, died at 15 in the Hospital for the Negro Insane. Decades later, Deborah discovered Elsie likely suffered abuse and possible experimentation without consent, another layer of exploitation. Deborah Lax became obsessed with knowing her mother. With limited education but fierce determination, she collected articles about HeLa cells, carrying a dictionary to decipher medical terms. When Johns Hopkins invited the family to see HeLa cells under a microscope, it proved transformative. Cancer researcher Christoph Langauer told them, "You're famous, just nobody knows it's you." For Zachariah, Henrietta's youngest son who harbored the deepest anger, the moment overwhelmed him. "They're beautiful," he said, his voice breaking. Author Rebecca Skloot's genuine interest in Henrietta as a person, not just her cells, gradually won the family's trust. Together with Deborah, she visited Clover, where Henrietta grew up, and tracked down medical records about Elsie's time at Crownsville. Each discovery brought pain and healing. Learning about Elsie's horrific treatment devastated them, but finding her photograph brought Deborah indescribable joy. "This is my sister. This is proof that she was here." Deborah's cousin Gary helped her see her mother's cells as part of God's plan, a way for Henrietta to fulfill a divine purpose by helping others even after death. Deborah died in 2009, having fulfilled her mission to honor her mother. 4 years later, after Skloot's book brought international attention, the National Institutes of Health reached an unprecedented agreement with the Lax family. Involvement in HeLa research decisions and acknowledgement in scientific papers. Historic recognition, though not financial compensation. Today, millions of tissue samples sit in biobanks. When you have blood drawn or a biopsy performed, leftover samples often enter research, usually without your explicit knowledge. Legal precedent maintains that once tissues leave your body, you no longer have rights to them. The racial dimensions can't be ignored. Medical research in America has exploited Black bodies, from gynecological experiments on enslaved women to the Tuskegee syphilis study. Black Americans remain underrepresented in clinical trials, yet overrepresented in non-consensual tissue collection. As we enter an era of personalized medicine, Henrietta's story grows more relevant. Who owns our biological information? Who profits from it? Medical students now learn about HeLa cells as both a scientific breakthrough and a cautionary tale about transparency and respect.